Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Securing Bridges podcast. You're about to join Alyssa Miller as she sits down with senior and executive security leaders to share stories of success and failure while working across business teams. It's time to build and secure the bridge to the business. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
All right, Securing Bridges, here we are once again. I promised you a super exciting guest this week, and I promise you, we are not going to disappoint. This is going to be a blast. I can't wait. You notice he's already acting all shy and bashful.
Although
he did already make me feel bad because I blew it. Last week's episode was the answer to life,
everything.
The universe, and everything.
Yeah.
So maybe we don't even need to do this show.
We're done.
We have to do this show because with me this week, as you can see, I've got Kevin Johnson. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, man. I am so ready for this. This is going to be such a good episode because Kevin's one of like my favorite people.
Oh, well, then I'm sorry about you. You have really bad taste. Okay, I got to ask one question, and this has been bothering me. I will admit that I only recently added this podcast to my podcast player.
Now, none of us are perfect.
Well, exactly. I will also point out that I only recently got a podcast player. So,
right?
But okay. Here's the thing that's been bothering me. Your graphic. So, building... No, not that one. I love that one. I told you that when you posted it the first time on Twitter, how amazing that is. The bridge. The looking down at the bridge. That one.
This one.
Yeah, we're building bridges, but we don't see where we're building them to. This bridge is just in the middle of nowhere.
Because they go everywhere.
And I'm just saying, this one is... Okay, maybe.
Contracting at the same time. Holy crap, okay. See, we're already getting into this. And really, you're talking to people about who you are.
Oh, yeah, I'm me.
There might be one or two people who don't know.
Of people who don't know me.
Well, you're the greatest hacker ever, or whatever, right?
Oh, no, God. I knew we were going to make a Kevin Mitnick joke very soon. Okay, wait, I'm sorry. That's not true. That's because Kevin Mitnick is just a joke. But, sorry. No, I'm not.
Tell us who Kevin Johnson is, please.
I'm Kevin Johnson. I'm not that impressed with me. I have been Kevin for 50 years. I have been Kevin Johnson for 42. I changed my name when I turned 18. So I get this year, my name is the answer for the whole year. So
your math is kind of off, but okay.
Oh my God, you're right. It's way off. You just ruined the whole year. Where did I get the idea it was 40? Oh my God, I got an entire decade until that happens. Dang it. Okay, fine. I'm Kevin Johnson. I'm a nerd that can't do math. So I don't know what to say about me. I'm one of the owners of Secure Ideas.
That's important.
I guess so. I like it. I'm a professional hacker. I mean, I'm not. Jason Haddix is amazing, and I can't believe I have to follow him. But I'm Kevin. I'm the lead of the Samurai WTF project, which is a great environment to learn web pen testing. I wrote the web pen testing curriculum for SANS. I don't teach for them anymore. They're too damn expensive. Oh, did I say that out loud?
I endorse this statement.
And I do a lot of weird things. I like security. And yeah, we're 26 people. We just hired our latest. She started on Monday. And you want to talk? We're a real company now. We hired our first salesperson. And
oh shit!
I know. Downhill. I will let Brittany know that you're now disappointed in the company.
Add Secure Ideas to my spam list.
Yep. So no, we're just pen testers, right? But I think I don't know. That's us. We do open source projects. We teach classes for Anti-Siphon, which is awesome. The stuff Anti-Siphon is doing, the pay what you can, it's amazing. It's the way, in my opinion, it's the way training should be, but I am biased. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I get that. But I also understand it can be hard to produce training for nothing when it costs. So.
Yeah, and that is one of the that is absolutely a big problem, right? How do you and let me be blunt, Secure Ideas has that easy. And the reason I say we have it easy is our training, one, we want to help people. We want people to learn, we want people to be educated. Yeah. But bluntly, when we train a class, we tend to attract people to buy from us, or we attract people who we can then hire. So as a company, we're in a position where producing training is a cost that's worthwhile. We're in a unique position. I know lots of people who training is the one thing they do. They do it amazingly well, have to be compensated because they have bills.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and that's, it's like you said, it's a balance, but yeah. I mean, I first got to know you through Sans training. I didn't really like get to know you. I got to know you. You didn't get to know me because you were on the other end of, you know, some inner tubes and things. And
oh, did you do like the on demand or the?
I think so. It was either on demand or it was at least a remote live or something, whatever they called it. But
yeah,
I think I told you this once before. My favorite memory of you is I think you said you wanted to marry Nikto or something.
I know exactly who it was. It was Andres Riancho. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
You wanted to marry the tool. That was the thing that got me.
He released W3AF. And at the time,
W3AF. Okay.
I thought W3AF. I don't even know if W3AF is still around.
I'm a CISO. I don't do that kind of stuff anymore. Yes.
Yeah, I do. But I haven't looked for that tool anymore. So what I loved about it was the first well done automated testing tool that was open source.
Yes.
And while I wouldn't use it in an actual pen test, having it as a way to figure out test techniques and exploitation techniques and every bit of it being open source was amazing to me. And so, yes, you're right. I said in many classes that I would marry W3AF, or you would hear me say I would have its kids. That was the other phrase.
I did not hear that one, but that would have been equally memorable.
Yeah, I use that one a lot. The weird thing about the on-demand stuff and the recorded version is that was a six-day course. And so people would listen to me tell jokes and stories about my kids and random stuff as I did the course. And they would get to the point where they felt like they knew me, right?
Yeah.
But here's the problem. I'd be at a conference somewhere, let's say DerbyCon or ShmooCon. Oh man, I miss ShmooCon. I haven't been in a while. But sorry, tangents. And they would hear me speaking and they would recognize my voice because they've listened to me, right, multiple times in their community, whatever, right? They would walk up and talk to me as if we were old friends and never think about the fact. Like you said it perfectly. I got to know you, but you didn't get to know me, right? They would just walk up and go, Kevin! And it was crazy. The weirdest one that happened was my daughters and my wife were with me at a conference. And we were going to dinner. And somebody walked up and they were like, oh my God, Kevin, how you been? And I'm like, hi. And I'm awful with names. And I'm like, I don't recognize this person. And they're like, Brenna, how are you doing? And they start talking to my kids. Because I had told stories about my kids. And it was like, we were about 10 minutes into this conversation before I said to the person, okay, look, I don't mean to be rude, but I don't know who you are. You know my entire family. You're talking to them as if we're old friends.
Of course, 5 years ago. How dare you not know who I am?
Exactly. They're like, oh yeah, I took your on-demand course. I'm like, okay.
You're saying hi to my kid?
Yeah, it was crazy. Oh, it was totally crazy. That so yeah, wild. But they knew me. I did not know them, and I felt bad.
No, but, I mean, I know that feeling. You know, I love it and I hate it. Like I love that people, because this is why I got into speaking. It's why I do conferences, because I was one, and you might have been the same at one time. hard to believe, but maybe I would go to a conference and I am an expert. If there's one thing that I am incredible at that I can do better than anybody, it's being completely alone in a sea of people. I can be among 5,000 like-minded information security people, and I will stand there like a wallflower, terrified.
I bet you I could challenge you for that title.
Okay, maybe. I've come out of my shell a little since. But no, that was why. Because if I spoke, then people would come up and say hi. Because they saw me talk, or they knew I was going to be speaking, and they saw me, you know, on the website, in the program, whatever. Program, do they still print those? I don't know. But, and so that was what did it. But so,
And I will tell you that one of the problems with that, that makes that worse, is when you first get into the field. Because I remember when I decided, okay, I want to get into security. I want to be you. I want to be this, right? And I started looking, and back then we didn't have Twitter and stuff like that because I'm friggin' old. But
right there with you. I'm not that many years behind.
All I'm going to say is I feel really old. How's that?
I do too.
So back then you would see people and you would wherever you were talking to people, and the loudest people, the people that got the most attention, and I would argue that this is still this way quite often, is that the people that get the loudest and best, most attention are the least worthy of that attention. And they believe in the idea of not sharing. This is mine. I'm not going to teach you. I'm not going to lift you up. I'm not going to help you out. And I'm really happy that I found my people, I guess, that agreed with. What I tell people nowadays is if you ask a question and the person basically attacks you for asking, or how dare you bother me with a request for information,
then I'm here to answer more advanced questions than that.
Yeah, exactly. Then at that point, we're talking like Craig Wright, lying plagiarist. But did I say that out loud too? And I did.
My show. Hi,
Jonathan Data One. But
no censor beep here.
That's okay. I don't need a censor beep. I'm just gonna be me. And I don't have that filter. My brain, my mouth. I think it. I say it.
No, said Craig Wright, not Sean Wright. Get it?
No. Yeah. Totally different. Craig Wright, the plagiarizer.
I gotta get Sean Wright on this show, by the way.
Sean Wright's cool. Craig Wright's the guy that pretends he wrote Bitcoin. Yeah. And
I know.
Yeah. But when you see these people, they don't know what they say they do. They're not the experts. Sure. What you want to do is you want to talk to the people like Ken Johnson. Please note, there's a couple missing letters there, right? Or Jason, like there's so many people that I look at. I would
mention Jason because he was the first one that came to mind when you were talking about this. Like,
yeah, he's a genius. And you ask a question, and not only will he answer the question, but he'll answer the other six things you need to know to help you with that. And bluntly, Alyssa, I'd say it about you. You're one of those people. Yeah, you want live show. We'll pretend I can't talk.
I mean, I'm turning bright red now. So
you shouldn't because you're amazing. And here's the thing about you that I think is important for people to understand. And I would say this if I wasn't on your show. Okay. You recognize that when you help somebody else with whatever you're helping them with, not only does it help them make them better, but it helps make you better.
100%.
Because, right? Because they're going to bring something to you that you don't know, that you're learning. Plus, even if they have nothing you don't know, let's pretend somehow we have impossible, this mythical person, right? Just the act of explaining something makes you understand it better.
1,000%.
Right? Yeah. And so
literally just had this like 20 minutes before we got here.
That's important. And that's why I say to people, like, get involved. It's hard. Like, you're right. You're in the sea of people that are all like-minded. There's a good chance they're in the same boat you are, that they don't want to. It's very the number of times I've talked to people and they've said to me, oh, I have nothing interesting to present. I have nothing interesting to help with. I have nothing interesting. And it's like, I'm the boringest person in the world and you put me on stage.
Boringest person in the world, says the guy with a giant Chewbacca standing behind him.
He's awesome, isn't he?
He is awesome.
He only took 5 years to make. He is hand latch hooked.
Okay. Like,
yeah. Let me tell you that if you go to Sally Beauty Supply and say, I need 26 pounds of hair extensions in these four colors, they look at you weird. I don't know from experience or anything.
No, not at all. Oh, I'm so good. But anyway, so I'm really glad you brought up Jason. And by the way, for those watching who aren't sure, Jason Street is who we're talking about. You know, I mean, because Jason, I think, you know, definitely is a perfect example of the same camp, right?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, yeah, there's that desire to help others, right? So if I help somebody, I explain something to somebody, it's amazing, right? I love seeing the look on their face when they understand it. Yeah. You're right. I mean, I literally was just explaining something, not even cybersecurity related. It was some aviation stuff before. And I realized as I was talking, like, I was like, it started to make more sense to me as I was trying to explain it to somebody else. Like, oh, yeah. But the other thing that's been really important to me, and literally, Jason, if you're watching, I'm crediting you with this. It was where I realized that what I really cared about was, first time I saw him speak was where I realized that what I really cared about was our community.
Yeah.
You know, we grew up in the hacker world. And, you know, for me, my background is very, very, very different than where Jason comes from, which is very, very, very different than where you come from. But, you know, I think for all of us in one way or another, we found that family in the hacker community. For me, it was in my teens. You know, I was the bullied kid that nobody wanted anything to do with. I had very few friends.
Yep.
But I found IRC channels.
Bulletin board systems.
Yeah, BBSs were kind of on the way out by the time I really found them.
Sorry.
But IRC, I mean, I latched onto that like no tomorrow. And it helped too that I was in college at the time and sitting on a T1 connection in our little
jealous
computer science lab, because, which was great because we had like, I think like 20 SunSpark stations that were on it. That was it. And we had a T1. Like, it was fast, you know. It was no 33.6 dial up, let me tell you. But yeah, so I mean, like, you know, and so Jason was the first one who taught me to realize that was what was motivating me. Like, I mean, I had the motivation, but I didn't connect what it was.
Yeah. That's one of the things, and I actually think that ties to what is a hot button topic for me, is tying the motivation to what it really is, right? Yeah. Because we suck at understanding why we do things, right?
Totally.
And this to me is, we see it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. We find a vulnerability. We talk about a vulnerability. We talk about security and everything else like that. I mean, how many times have you heard people say, right, we'd be so much better off if we didn't have users, right? Mm-hmm. Or, yep. And I'll be honest.
We would have a job.
Yes, we would. And oh, by the way, we're users. right? Like, we also are the users. But understanding what motivates us is very hard for people to figure out. And it's even harder to figure out what motivates other people. Because let's pick on Jason Street. Let's pick on Jason for a second. Do you know how many people think that Jason gets up on stage because he's messed? How many people I've talked to and that they truly believe, and I want to be clear, they're wrong, but that what motivates Jason is the attention he gets. Right.
Oh, they forget about everybody that goes on stage. It's ridiculous.
But let's throw that over to your securing bridges idea.
Right? Yeah.
If you misunderstand Jason's motivation that bad, and you and I both know that that is a huge misunderstanding.
Not what he's up there for.
Exactly. How are you possibly understanding what will motivate your businesses, your organizations, and too often I see it. Who was it? What cruddy company did I just see? Oh my gosh, I can't even remember the name of their company, but their marketing, it's all fear. It's all Oh, yeah. Did you see that breach? Did you see that? We can protect you. We can help you. The number of AI crap things coming out right now. And by the way, I love LLMs. I really do. I'm not, but I don't like LLM marketing. So, but
it's like every other exciting technology. People way overcommit. They dive into the deep end with nothing in terms of a life preserver. I don't even think they have bathing suits on.
Oh, that was not an image I needed. I've seen these people. I don't want to see them not in a bathing suit.
I'm here for you. I'm here for you. You don't have to see it. But no, it is. Every time we have exciting technology, we just go all in and proclaim it the next savior of the world. And it even happens with security.
Or the flip side of that, we go all in and say it's going to destroy everything.
Right.
It's going to be awful.
At the same time, like we're doing with AI.
Yep, exactly. Right now, it's going to kill us. It's going to destroy jobs. It's going to be the best. It's going to save the world. And here's what it is.
Coming for us. Yep.
Exactly. Let me be very clear. I have said for years, I bow to our robot overlords. Not only do I bow to our robot overlords, and I do this on recordings so that they know.
I know.
If they're ever looking for the resistance, I'll narc. The robots can ask me. The humans are over there. That's what they're doing. I'm that guy. Because they can't do worse than we have.
They can't. No.
Yeah. But I think, personally, I think that the entire InfoSec industry falls into a trap way too often.
Mm-hmm.
Where we pretend we're special. We pretend we know something that's going to solve the world. And we don't even know what we're talking to people about, right?
Well, you know what's weird about that? Because you're right.
Thank you.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is very weird.
No, but what's weird about it is, and I have noticed this before, and there's been conversation I think I've had before. I'm sure many of us have, whatever. We do feel like we're special, like we know something no one else does, but then we don't want to share it.
No.
To your point earlier.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to explain it. We don't want to be bothered to explain it. Everybody should understand it like us, but we're special because we understand it.
Yep.
Like I.
And then we get mad people don't do what we expect them to do.
Ooh, you want to see security people get mad? Ask them what security's job is. And when they tell you it's to defend the systems and blah, 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 whatever predictable answer, tell them they're wrong.
Yeah.
Because they are.
Absolutely 100% wrong. They're as wrong as anybody who says the police's job is to protect and serve.
And I can prove it. And I've done this because it pisses people off because I tell them right away, your job is to educate.
Yep.
And this is back to understanding the business. Your job is there to educate the business on what they need to do. You want a perfect example? Hey, there's this CVE that Microsoft just released that we need to fix. How many of your security people are going out there and patching that Microsoft server?
None.
Few, if any.
Yeah.
No, you're telling IT, go patch your shit.
Yeah. Without any.
Your job isn't to defend. They are. You're doing defense. You're just telling them what to do.
And you're telling them what to do with no understanding of what it takes for them to patch, what it takes for the business to approve it, what impact that change is going to have. I the number of times I've talked to people, see, and I'm tangenting. I'm sorry.
We live and die by tangents.
Yes, we do. I tell everybody I'm full of tangents and my eyes are brown. And we here at Secure Ideas, all of our consultants have had jobs doing not security. Right. So whether it's administration, whether it's development, whether it's one of my favorite consultants we've got was a chef for 20 years. Yeah. And we won't comment on her saying that. I didn't realize she was listening.
We've got her snowed. She's
totally fooled her. I got to pay her $20 now. And I owe her money for saying nice things about us. And she brings this experience to the job of running kitchens, managing
people. Be clear, this is the
person, the consultant I'm talking about.
Not the person we were just distracted by for a moment.
Or maybe it is, actually. So, but she brings that level of experience when she starts looking at security stuff, when she starts talking to our customers, when she starts doing this. And that brings a viewpoint that other people don't have. I have, you know, we've got consultants that all they did was deploy. One of my consultants, he spent years deploying point of sale systems and working in retail and helping them do their stuff. So when he comes in and says, hey, this is broken, and I want to be clear, this is not a bragging about secure ideas. This is how people should be thinking, because you go into your job as a CISO. I know for a fact that you're not sitting there saying, here's the latest CVE. I don't care what you have to do. This needs to be patched right now. This has to happen. You're looking at what they do. Way too often we see the other. I see it on everywhere. People do the wrong thing. And we see it in the commercial marketing efforts for our field, right?
Yes.
How many, and I know you said this, I'm blanking on her name now. I'm so sorry. It was a couple episodes ago. She was a marketing person who also, I'm blanking on her name. And she commented.
I had a couple on, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. Oh, I feel so bad because it was a great episode. I had never met her before, and I now follow her on Twitter because she was so great on the episode, and I'm blanking on it. But she talked about how so much of the marketing in our field is tied to the hoodie-wearing, faceless person who is going to break in, not the person who's going to help run your business better and do it securely. And the example I give for that is SQL injection. Do you know, SQL injection has been around as a named vulnerability for what, 30 years?
At least.
40, at least.
Oh, how long has Sid been teaching about it, right?
Exactly. Now, here's the thing about SQL injection. Do you know how to fix it?
I do, because in scenarios, because I have.
Right, parameterized queries.
Yes.
Do you know the best thing about parameterized queries? Your app runs faster than dynamic SQL. So we have a security fix that actually makes the system better, right? This is unlike everything else. Almost every other security fix we give out is, well, this is going to slow shit down. But
I know.
And we don't promote that.
Why are we not on the, we should be doing these talks together, because I think we've both been screaming this from the rooftop.
We have. You know, I will be at a whole bunch of conferences this year that I bet you are as well. If you're at a conference I'm at, get on stage with me and we will yell at everybody in the audience.
I mean, because it's not even just the systems. Apply it to the business. And this is the thing I've been trying to tell people. So we go out, here's a great example, implement screw it. I'm tossing their name out there and maybe they'll sponsor me. Okta. Okay.
Yes.
We implement Okta and we're going to use Okta to manage all of our clients that have to log into the different products that we sell.
Right.
Okay, great. Well, what does Okta do really, really cool? It integrates with Azure, Azure AD. Okay. So I need you to install Okta and integrate your systems with it, but here's what it's going to be able to do for you. You can now sell this cool service where we federate authentication to our customers.
Yes.
They'll love it because there's no new user administration. It's just a new access.
Makes everything easier. Yep.
We get MFA. We get all the cool things because we have that infrastructure in place. You're making more money now because you have a cool new revenue idea.
But they
and
don't
I
think
just
about
made
it.
You more secure.
Yep.
Like,
and you made them more secure in a way that doesn't make it more difficult for their users to do stuff. It actually makes it easier.
Yeah.
And but we don't sell it that way. We sell it as, well, if you don't install Okta, you're not going to have good security. And it's like, but and that's such an easily disprovable statement, right?
Right. Totally.
That you just wasted all of that effort and did that.
Well, and they don't care.
No.
This is why I get frustrated with CISOs who talk about my job as risk management or I'm a risk management professional. The hell you are.
Yeah.
And if that's what you're hanging your hat on, you are the most boring person in the world.
Yeah.
And here's how I prove that one. Think about it. Just being in business is risky.
Yeah.
Right?
There's I know.
Risk of being in business. You know this because you run a business. But what did you do? You analyzed the risk. You said, hey, The risk is worth it. Therefore, I'm going to risk accept it.
I'm so happy that you feel that strongly about me being better at business than I am. I accidentally started this business. Yes, no, but you're right. We have to think about it.
That mental gymnastics, you may not have thought about it consciously.
No, but we did.
Mental gymnastics happened in your head.
When we decided to go full time and not like, okay, this is the only job I have. You're absolutely right. My wife and I sat down. We talked about it. We had kids. We had a mortgage. We had all this. What is the risk? Right. So yeah, CISOs that say they're risk professionals. I'm always like, yeah, no, you're not.
Yeah, no, you're not. And if that's what you're trying to sell, you're not selling.
And not only are you not a risk professional, but if you honestly say that and believe that, you're stealing from the company that's paying you because you're not doing the job you should be doing. And that is getting security and IT and all the people to understand what the business needs at an acceptable place. Yeah. If you're not moving the business forward, I'm sorry, you're a waste of money. And worse, you're going to cause problems for the next person because you're not going to last long. You're going to do your time. You're going to quit, go join another company, do whatever. They're going to bring somebody else in and that person's going to have to fix all the stuff you screwed up.
And by the way, something in there you said reminded me who it was that had that story. And so I actually want to give her credit and
good. People,
they should go back and listen to, I think it was episode 41. I think it was right before Jason. I had Liz Miller on.
Yes. It was Liz Miller. Thank you. Yes. It was Liz Miller.
That was like the start of this trend of like super snarky content.
No, I don't. Yes.
It's wonderful.
I've never met her. Now, of course, I've said that out loud and it's recorded and she's going to come back and say, Kevin, we've known each other for a decade. And
I've been your kids for weeks.
Yeah, exactly. But I'd never met her and I'm listening to the episode because I listen to podcasts and stuff as I ride to work. And yeah. It was just like everything she said was so spot on. And it was like, this is awesome. But she brought up the hoodie. You know what's funny about the hoodie thing? I've never worn hoodies. I hate them. I've always had nothing to do with hacking, nothing to do with the marketing. I don't like the thing hanging down my back. Okay. So I've never understood the obsession with hoodies.
Hated hoodies in high school.
Okay. Okay.
Because one of two things would happen. Okay. Either that was a really convenient handle.
Yep. To pull you backwards. Grab, yep.
Or I would go outside when it was cold out. I live in Wisconsin, yep. Horrible place to be, and find random things when I went to cover my head.
Yes. Okay. I understand this. I can see this. So, see, I grew up in South Florida, right? So
where hoodies don't even make sense.
No, but I will admit all the way through high school, I wore an overcoat. Like this big great coat that I had purchased at some military surplus store. I was bullied. I was that nerd kid. if you turn your hoodie around, you can fill it with popcorn. Okay, I might wear a hoodie then. But I grew up, to give you an idea, I was 36 before I saw snow in real life.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, I grew up in Florida. We didn't have that stuff.
There was a year, I can't remember, 2014, I think it was, where Florida was the only state in the union, or no, the only state in the contiguous 48 plus Alaska
that had gotten
that
snow.
That didn't get snow.
Yes, yeah. So we have had snow here, mostly up in North Florida. And when I was like five, it got to a point where they claimed it snowed, but it like melted before it hit the ground. So I don't count that, right? Yeah,
there's a term for that.
Virga. Okay.
They call that Virga.
Virga, really?
Yeah. Just okay. There's your trivia for the day.
That'll trivia be for the day.
Quiz at the end of the show.
Yeah. Yep.
I also realized in this moment with that comment about the cat about the popcorn that I am 43 episodes into this before I realized I really need to read the comments out loud instead of just talking about them because we do convert this to an audio only podcast. And there are people listening then who have no clue what we're talking about.
That's a good point. And you know what's really bad is both of us know that trick. when you're teaching a class and somebody asks a question that you have to repeat the question back to them. Yeah, and neither of us thought to do it.
I have just never done that in 42 episodes until now. I have now, I will always,
always do it. Okay.
So to my podcast listeners out there, I apologize for the last 42 episodes. From 43 onward, I will be better human.
Yes, yes. We all, but let's be clear. Our goal is to always be better at being human.
That's my goal. That's your goal. We have to be careful about that collective.
That's a good point. That is a good point.
There are many people, unfortunately, in this world who I don't think that's their goal.
I know that for a fact because I live in Florida.
I wasn't going to say it, but I'm
glad I said it. Our shit stained governor. But
I think Mickey Mouse will be my next guest on this show because, you know, just for that purpose. Oh, done.
Done. We got
it. Ronnie, I hope you're watching. Somebody send him the link to this show.
Live.
I don't need all the comments on the podcast platform.
If anybody wants to make comments pro those idiots, direct them to @SecureIdeas on Twitter because it's my fault it came up. That's my account. And I will point out.
Type it to Death Null, please.
Oh, no, I have no problem people making those comments to me because it lets me know the people that I think.
You block. Yeah.
No, I don't block people.
Oh, no?
No, because it's a waste of my time to block people. I just read somebody else complain about this, about Twitter, is that if we say to people, hey, if you don't like that, block them. What we are doing is we're supporting the other side because that gives the other side the ability to do whatever they want. And you put the effort on the person blocking. Now, I get it that there are people who they block because it helps their mental health. They don't have to deal with people. I totally get that. I'm in a very special place.
Yeah.
I'm a straight white guy. No matter what I say, those idiots think that at some level I agree with them. So they leave me alone. It's sad, but so I don't block people because.
Okay. And that's fair. But I'm glad you mentioned the mental health thing because that is.
I can't imagine being other people.
I mean, InfoSec Twitter, tech Twitter, just Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, freaking Musk today, another stupid post. I mean, just anyway.
See, I'm happy to say that I don't see anything he posts.
Oh, I don't either. The problem is his shit starts trending and then I see it.
That's a good point. I really like what Mastodon is trying to do.
Yes.
But I have found for me, it's difficult to understand. I lose track of the different, I like the idea that each server is their thing and they're federated, but you can have a community and everything else like that. And I still struggle with knowing that aspects, right?
Well, I think for me, my challenge with Mastodon, and I had, oh my God, now I'm the one who can't come up with a name.
It's okay.
He was on the show.
Jerry?
Jerry, thank you. God. No problem. So I had Jerry on here, but I think the one thing that I've since realized with Mastodon is it has also exposed the flaw in the no algorithm argument.
Yes, yes.
Because for me, social media is about engagement with other people.
Yep.
And the problem with Mastodon is, especially as you get more and more followers, like you post something, whatever, publish something.
Whatever, yeah. Not I know what you mean.
Or, I don't even know.
You Mastodon it.
Yes. Unless someone sees it in like the first 30 seconds of their timeline, it's gone forever.
Yeah.
So whoever's going to respond to it is going to respond in the first few minutes. And then I'm not going to hear from anybody again. And so what happens is, it just disappears.
Yeah.
And I don't get that same engagement. So I can say all the things, but I feel like I'm screaming into the void because there's not really the
response. And the bigger problem in my mind to that is, this is one of the things I actually like about Twitter, and I've heard Blue Sky does this well, but Blue Sky is still in that point where you need invites, and I hate
apps where you have to be invited too.
Yeah, but I don't spend tons of time on Twitter or Mastodon or whatever, so your exact point is relevant. If I'm not on right after you post something, I miss it. And there is no easy way to filter that I found. If all you listeners out there, if you know something, please share.
Everybody was encouraging people to use hashtags, but that just hasn't happened. Because that's the one way you can do it, is you can hashtag, and that was the whole point of what hashtags were supposed to be. But
but I don't think – I see the same problem with ChatGPT, and I'll explain it. What I mean by that is hashtags are supposed to do that for you, but in other forms, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, whatever, hashtags are just flair, for the best use of their term, right? That people don't think about them as a way to promote and move, even though that's really what they were for. Yeah. It's the same thing with ChatGPT. I see people use ChatGPT and they forget that the first four letters spell chat and that it's supposed to be a back and forth with the LLM to address and move and modify what's coming out of it. And so I find myself doing it, right? I'll ask a question. It'll give me an answer. The answer won't be exactly what I want. And instead of just saying, here's where I think your answer is wrong and what I need more information on, in a chat, like you and I would go back and forth discussing something, I ask the question again in a different way, right? And so I get a completely different answer, which hasn't actually improved anything.
Yeah,
we see the same thing with hashtags. People use them wrong or ignore them.
That's legit, yeah.
Yeah, but security sucks.
I can't believe this. Well, yes, I can.
Okay.
Because I knew this was going to be a blast, but we are at the end of our time already.
Oh, I'd get rid of me too.
I mean, this has been an absolute blast. And as expected, I think we covered about every far-reaching possible.
We talked about quite a bit, few different things.
we did squeeze in a little bit of picking on a particular person who is not Jason Street, who we said we would pick on. And we did. So that's what matters.
Oh, I will pick on anybody you want me to pick on that deserves it. And Kevin Mitnick deserves it. Check marks. Don't buy check marks.
Wow.
Is that good?
That's out. I mean, that's putting it right there. So
done.
I'm going to hear from somebody that works there now, aren't I?
Of course you are. And if you don't, I will.
definitely going to that, but that's your problem.
I spent years, every time I stood on stage, I started my presentation and ended my presentation with don't buy check marks.
Yes, I have actually been there for that.
So. Yeah. So.
But cool. This has been a blast. So
thank you for
my last
me on.
Question to you
okay.
before we go. What is your one piece of, this is like the only interview question through the whole show. I told you I don't do interviews.
Right.
But what is the one thing you would tell somebody who wants to get into this space of cybersecurity, who maybe is that cook, maybe is that barista, which is the example I like to use.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Working at the Gap, which is a real life example.
Yep.
What's the one thing you tell them if they want to get into this industry?
Don't.
Seriously.
Yep, dead serious. Well, and I don't mean don't start this type of job. Don't focus on getting into the industry. What you want to do is start getting involved with the community. Alyssa, you said it perfectly at the beginning, right? That one of the most important things we should do is be here supporting the community. And if you want to be a pen tester, that is the example of what I am, right? Get involved in the community. Because if you get involved with us, the people who are trying to build everything and move the needle the right way and everything, you'll get into the job. You'll get into the industry. And not only will you be able to get into that job or industry you want to be in, but you'll be a part of actually making it better. And you'll have that support structure, right? That's what I want people to do. Get involved. And if you don't know how, reach out, ask. We'll help you.
Yeah, please.
Show us. But that I think is, I think we have too many people. I had this argument, Alan Paller was a great man. I was very upset when I found out Alan Paller died. And he did the industry a huge disservice when he made up the skills gap quote.
Yep.
And I'm not saying there isn't a skills gap. I'm not saying we don't need more people. I am. But
I'll say it too. Yeah.
We have too many people that focus on, I want to have that six-figure job. I want to be a pen tester. I want to be an IR person. I want to do that. And they don't recognize that the best way to have a career, not a job, is to have the support structure the community builds around you to get you into that position. That's what that I babbled.
I absolutely love that that was your answer. There is a reason why the very first chapter of my book talks about the history of the cybersecurity community. Good. And yeah. That is it. You just summed it up so perfectly.
Thank you.
Unfortunately,
we're done.
I do have to say goodbye because we have got to end this at some point because people will just stop listening.
And I stopped listening a while.
At least the podcast people, if they're smart, they like listen on 1.5x speed and yeah. I probably sound like a chipmunk, but you know. And hey, look, Investigator Chick is even here and says she loves that statement that community is so important. I agree 1,000%. I almost doxed you by saying your real name. I don't know if that would have been good or bad, so I'm glad I didn't. Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This has been an absolute blast. I've loved this episode. I'm sorry I missed 42 somehow.
It's okay. It's okay. I'll survive.
Kevin snapped me for that. So. But awesome. For that, Kevin, thank you again for being on. Thank you all you for listening in. You know, we'll keep coming back. I keep ending up with just incredible guest after incredible guest. I am so fortunate on this show to be able to talk to so many cool and just incredible people. I hope you're all enjoying it too. But hey, until next time, that's, you know, all we've got for this episode of Security and Bridges. So take care, everybody.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Securing Bridges podcast with Alyssa Miller. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSBmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.